Hey, Betty.
What?
Where were you born?
What?
Read my lips. Where were you born?
I was born in East LA, man. I was born in East LA. I was born in East LA, man. I was born in East LA.
Soy un hombre muy honrado que me gusta lo mejor. A mujeres no me falta ni el dinero ni el amor. Jineteando en mi caballo por la sierra yo me voy. Las estrellas y la luna ellas me dicen dónde voy.
Ay, 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 ay,
ay, ay, ay, mi amor.
Ay, mi morena
de mi corazón. Me gusta tocar guitarra, me gusta cantar el son, mariachi me acompaña cuando canto mi canción. Me gusta tomar mis copas, aguardiente es lo mejor, también el tequila blanco con su sal le da sabor.
Ay, 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 ay,
ay, ay, mi amor.
Ay, mi morena
de mi corazón.
Y volver, volver, volver a tus brazos otra vez. Llegaré hasta donde estés. Yo sé perder, yo sé perder. Quiero volver, volver, volver.
I'm talented, yes, I'm gifted.
Where were you born?
I was born in East LA, man.
You were born in East LA, huh?
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hype Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.
And let's not forget to add the newest sponsor to MMAMadhouse.com, Persist Headwear. You guys check them out on Facebook, hyperlinked on the website. Tonight we kick off the first ever of many, many, many shows to come. Sunday night, Fights Live. This show is going to be hosted by Ray Lopez. Let me bring him in right away. Ray, welcome to the Madhouse family, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Sunday Night Fights coming straight at you.
I will tell you what, I'm super excited. And for the folks out there, I'm going to help him get started on this, maybe for the first couple episodes. He's working on a permanent co-host, but he will be your permanent host of this show. And before we get too crazy into tonight, we're going to spend the first little bit of this show meeting Ray, learning what he's about, who he is, and why this show's come together. So, Ray, for all the fans, especially outside your region listening tonight around the world, give them a bio. Let's talk. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm in the industry. I manage fighters as a takedown fight team. I got a number of amateurs. I got pros coming up through the ranks. I got Terrion Flash Ware, who's going to be on the show later on. He's a current IFS champ, also going for the Bama USA belt end of March. Isaac Velasco making his King of the Cage debut coming up here at the beginning of March. Got Ty Beth, DeAndre Camarena, Demon Morris. I mean, the list goes on and on of fighters. I have Bobby Sanchez. You know, that guy's been around forever in the game in SoCal MMA. Dave Rivas is another one who's one of our sponsored fighters. Orlando Spericueta. You know, these guys, you know, in the LA scene, they're pretty well known. So, you know, in the local market, we're pretty much got a handle on things here. Got into martial arts at the age of 5, doing karate with my older cousins. You know, they used to beat me up, you know, when we'd be sparring, but only made me tougher. Wrestled in high school, Ball Park High School Wrestling. In fact, they just had one of the girls place in CIF, so, you know, they're doing big things there, Ball Park High School Wrestling. basically that's it. You know, I got my own clothing line, take down grappleware. Just involved in the game.
Now, you know, obviously we're on the media side. You're on the management and production gear company side. With everything that's been going on in the last few years, you've obviously been tied to the sport long enough and you've seen the growth. I have seen standing from outside, being able to cover majority of the world and haven't been able to get into SoCal so well or California as a whole, but SoCal, that scene is really, in the last two, maybe 3 years, have progressively gotten so big.
Yeah, I mean, it's blowing up out here. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's me. Once again, I smoke a ton of cigarettes, and I was taking a drag, and I should have waited until I finished. Do you see the influx of fighters going the route of MMA now instead of boxing in that area of the country?
Oh, definitely. Everybody wants to be a cage fighter now. You know, it's becoming a popular sport. It's hitting the mainstream. So, yeah, a lot of people who would be getting into boxing are not getting into MMA. But the flip side of that is you got people who aren't staying true to the disciplines who want to just train MMA and aren't getting belted in other disciplines. So, you know, that's a problem going on right now, too. So the more successful guys are belted in multiple disciplines.
True. Very good point. You know, obviously being a heavy descent in that region of the country from, you know, Hispanics, you know, traditionally they're boxing, you know, they always have been. I grew up around it and, you know, especially down in Houston, it was the same way. And I've seen now in Houston, a lot of the guys progressing out of the boxing scene into the MMA world. And it seems like the community is very, very supportive as a whole. Is the Hispanic community down there in the LA region very supportive of it? Or are they still boxing?
With the younger crowd, it is. With the older crowd, they're still boxing. They're a little hesitant to like MMA. You know, in my family, the older guys, you know, especially like my dad, you know, there's a big boxing fan. MMA, he's slowly coming around to liking it. At first, he was against it. But now, you know, bringing him out to some of the fights, he's starting to like it a little bit. But he's still a bigger boxing fan. You know, and even in my own family, I have a cousin who's a boxing promoter in Colorado. And, so, you know, a lot of the family is behind him in the boxing. They're slowly coming over to backing me on the MMA, but they're still a little hesitant. You know, to them, it's still a new sport. It's been out since, what, 93? So we don't have the rich tradition that we do in boxing. But, like, you even see boxers coming over and becoming MMA fans now.
True. Now, it's funny because with what you're doing, you have to convince a young, talented athlete, you know, to go the route of MMA versus boxing, especially with the tradition that they hold with that sport culturally. Have you run into that as being an issue or a problem with family members trying to convince the kid maybe not to go that route and stay boxing?
I haven't encountered that yet. I mean, I do see it happening eventually. But, I mean, as of now, you know, the way I present it to someone who comes to me and has questions, like, well, you take a boxing match. 12 rounds you're fighting a guy, and he's a better striker than you, he's going to beat you up for 12 rounds. He's not going to be better than you in striking, in jiu-jitsu, in wrestling, in Muay Thai. One of those you're going to be better than him at. So you have that option to take it elsewhere, take it to the ground, you can, you know, use your Muay Thai. Boxing is just one-dimensional. If you're fighting somebody who's outclassing you, he's outclassing you. I mean, classic point is the first Frank Mir-Brock Lesnar fight. You know, Brock Lesnar was beating the crap out of Frank Mir, and then Frank Mir, he pulled that leg lock out of nowhere and beat him.
Yep. That's a good point. It's a very good point. And you know, once again, that's why today you have to be so well-rounded in everything, and I believe that's why you're seeing today throughout the world, you're seeing more of these guys from the stands or from Russia who come with such a strong sambo background being so impressive in the sport, because so many people have not trained sambo. And if you are a good combat sambo practitioner, dude, you're talking about punching, kicking, gi work, you know, grappling, judo, all rolled up in one. But their transitions, the way they grab on, the way they're able to throw punches because they've trained from that angle to throw a punch, it's confusing right now to some athletes in the MMA game, and they're not able to beat these guys. You know, I watched Falco, the Miguel Falco from Bellator, who, you know, had all the issues and was cut. Well, he made his return after that whole gas station brawl deal where he got hit upside the head with a 2x4 down in the Philippines. He made his debut at Oplot in Russia Saturday morning. And the first round, that Sambo grappler was eating him alive. And then, sure enough, he slowed down in round two, calmed down, threw a couple of good jabs, grabbed the back, and choked the guy out very quickly. But it was impressive to see that he was, you know, frustrated with this Sambo guy, you know, a world-class Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner in his own right. So, you know, it's interesting when an influx of one sport takes over and people have to adapt to that one as well. It's one more tool they have to learn to either defend or use in their arsenal.
Well, definitely. I've always been a big fan of Sambo. And, in fact, one of our coaches, you know, he competes on the U.S. national team for Sambo. And, I mean, the stuff that he teaches is, you know, it's directly related to MMA. It ties everything in, all the other disciplines.
Yep. That's really cool, man. It's rare right now to hear somebody in the gym have a Sambo coach. That's great. I mean, I'm hearing it more and more, don't get me wrong, Ray, but, you know, especially, you know, 2 years ago, nobody had a Sambo coach, really. You know, you had a handful of gyms that were teaching it, really, and traditionally teaching it. So it's great to hear that, you know, the athletes on your team are getting that kind of exposure, because I think that's an invaluable tool for MMA today.
Well, definitely. I mean, him personally, I mean, he's well-rounded. You know, he's got a black belt in Jeet Kune Do. He's also an accomplished boxing coach. So, you know, he's a complete package as far as coaching goes.
Now, you know, since we've got about 8 minutes, folks, before we're going to start bringing guests onto the show, while we're waiting, I want to continue to talk about this. Let's talk a little bit more about your coaches, staff there. Who all do you got? Why don't you read off the list of coaches for everyone?
Oh, well, you know, the one I was talking about is James Tilley. He's one of our coaches. Ian Harris, jiu-jitsu black belt out of Systems Training Center. He's our head coach for most of our guys. We used to work with the great Joe Camacho. He recently passed away in December. That was his walkout music that we played coming into the show. He was a Bellator fighter, fought November in Bellator. And let's see, who else do we got? Pedro Munoz is one of our jiu-jitsu coaches, just got signed by the UFC.
Yep, good. That's a good one.
Yeah, and then also, too, I mean, our level of fighter, too, is a lot of them, our coaches themselves, coaching, you know, our amateurs, you know, Terrion Ware coaches, he coaches an amateur team, other guys that work out of the gym with us who train with my guys, or, you know, John Robles, World Series of Fighting. He used to be from PKG. Now he's with Systems. Christos Gallegos is another guy that trains with our guys. He's not necessarily part of our team, but he's part of the gym. Dmitry Gerasimov, another great guy. He's 3-0 as a pro. And he's born in Russia, raised here in the United States. He's got a black belt in Taekwondo. He's a great grappler, great striker, also trained by Ian Harris, Pedro Munoz, and James Teal. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, we can basically be tied to anybody here in SoCal MMA. You know, Savant Young is another guy that helps our guys out. Not necessarily a coach, but, you know, we go over there and get some cross-training with Savant Young at Fight Academy.
Yeah.
The guys at Millennia help out, too. You know, Batiste Mansouri, Romy Arum. You know, I got Dave Rivas who's out of Millennia, you know, training with Charlie Valencia and Manny Tapia. So, I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, we're basically connected to almost everybody here in SoCal.
So is that a pretty good feeling to know that in your region right now, cross-training isn't something that's shunned upon or hated about?
No, actually, it's great because, you know, you have a guy who's coming up who's a better striker than you was, and you can go train at a gym that specializes in striking. You know, or vice versa, a jiu-jitsu guy, and your jiu-jitsu, you don't feel as good as his, so you go train at a jiu-jitsu gym. And a lot of times what happens is you fight a guy, that night you're having a beer with him, the next day you're in the gym with him training. It's that kind of respect out here. You know, it's like Terrion Ware, he did a main event last year with Jared Papazian, a UFC vet. know, it was a 3-round war. Jared ended up getting a decision. A week later, they're training together.
See, I like that. You know, we up here in the Pacific Northwest, we're just north of you, not too far. You know, we've got a group, especially up in the Spokane, Idaho area, that is really working well together. You know, Dave Crescane, XFC fighter, Daniel Swain, obviously Pancrase, MFC, XFC, you know, Josh Rittinghouse fighting for the World Series of Fighting title against, Morales coming up on, what, World Series of Fighting 9. Yeah, that's coming up quick. You know, we've got a lot of guys up here that are starting to work together and cross-train. Obviously, Crescane gets down there with Sam Cecilia and Michael Chiesa and, you know, all them guys. So it's nice to see that happening because you know as well as I do, 5 years ago, cross-training, a lot of coaches would have been like, you go there, don't come back, you know.
Oh, exactly.
And it's not getting that way anymore. And I love it. I think it's great. I do want to give a shout-out to Taiwan. Well, I know he couldn't make it tonight, and Persist Headwear, that's the man. You guys find him, follow him, Google him, Facebook him. He's out there. He's got a fight, I believe, coming up in a few weeks, so good luck on that, brother. You know Team Madhouse is behind you on that.
Yeah, he's going for his second fight in his return. Great guy, great kid, a lot of energy. Came up short in his last fight. The thing that I like the best about it, instead of being depressed after he came up short, he said, "Man, I love it. I want to get back in the cage."
Well, okay, this is something you're going to find out about me. I say this all the time. You have fighters who are athletic, and that's what I'm about, okay? I love a fighter who is athletic, who likes to get in there. Today, though, we're seeing more athletes fighting. And that's something I'm not a big fan of because we see a lot more boring fights. We see a lot more point-style fighting. And when you get somebody who loses, and you know, the more we interview fighters on the more you interview fighters on, you know, Sunday Night Fights Live, you're going to see this. But certain fighters are fighters, man, and they have that mentality. Hey, you beat me? So what? I'll come back bigger, badder, and stronger. And I like that. You know, you can't win them all. Let's be honest. Fedor, the greatest of all time, probably, he didn't win them all. Anderson, probably the second GOAT on the record list, didn't win them all. I mean, you can't win every fight. But if you go in there and train and learn and adapt and get better, that's what this sport's about. That's what you're supposedly chasing, is perfection. And it's going to be hard fought to find it, but you should never stop finding it.
Oh, no, I like to equate it to other sports, because MMA is a sport. You know, only difference is you fight 4 or 5 times a year. You know, in a football season, you play 16 games. You're not going to win all 16 games, just like you're not going to win every fight. It's okay to lose. It depends how you come back from a lose that measures how good of a fighter you are.
Yeah, and speaking of that, why don't you – I'm going to hop into queue real quick and get Joe and get him on the line. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about Joe and his company, and I'll be right back with you.
Hey, we got Joe Rice coming up. Bite Me Mouth Guards. Dude makes an excellent mouth guard. He's the official mouth guard of Takedown Fighters. Custom mouth guards. He's working on a Boil and Bite. I mean – I've heard they feel natural. You know, I don't actually fight, so I don't have them, but all my fighters do. They it feels natural when it's in there, not like you're wearing a mouth guard. Just a great product. And Joe is a great guy. He goes ahead and he endorses his fighters. He's there for them when they fight. He checks in on them regularly, makes sure everything's fitting right. He trains with them sometimes. You know, he'll come down with his gym bag and, hey, let's roll. And Joe's a great guy.
Well, speaking of Joe, we've got him. Joe, welcome to Sunday Night Fights Live. How you doing tonight, brother?
Good. How are you, Skippy?
I'm doing great. I'm actually going to be producing for these guys. I'm just filling in for now. Ray Lopez is online with us. He's going to be the normal host of this show. And I'd like to welcome you to the show. And for all the fans listening around the world, why don't you tell them who you are and a little bit about your company?
I'm Joe Rice from Bite Me Mouth Guards. Been in the Bite Me industry making mouth guards for these guys for over 10 years now. Got new products out on the market, a new Boil and Bite that's coming out. Been on the market working with some of the guys, trying it out. Been in this industry now, like I said, for over 10 years. Worked with everybody from Randy Couture all the way through Chuck Liddell, Diego, now working with Black House, and just got good things going on.
Well, you know, let's be honest, it's a lot cheaper to buy a mouth guard than pay for $10,000 worth of dental work.
Yes, it is, for sure. The dental industry can get rich off of the people that are not wearing mouth guards, that is for sure. You know, a couple hundred bucks for a mouth guard, getting a couple of good professionally made mouth guards can definitely save you anywhere between $6,000 to $10,000, that's for sure.
Now, Ray, I'm going to jump in for just a quick second, then I'll let you take over. For the fans out there, can you maybe get into a little bit about the aspect of your product and why it's so important, whether you're in hockey, basketball, weightlifting, soccer, football, MMA, to have something like this?
You know what? It benefits anybody in any kind of a sport, even weightlifting, from cracking their teeth. Basically, what it is a mouth guard gives you protection against. Nothing is proven that says that it gives you any protection against concussion, okay? The American Dental Association will not back that. But I have guys that have been wearing my mouth guards that say that when they do get hit or they take a kick or something like that, that the blow is not as hard as it used to be, because it allows for you to pretty much unitize your upper body. If you're biting into a mouth guard and you're able to make your neck tense, it locks you into your shoulders, and it makes everything more uniform. Whereas when you're getting hit with something that you have and you have nothing to bite into, you get rattled. When you have something in your mouth that you can bite into and get focused with, that rattling is not as hard. It doesn't take it as much as a hard shot as it usually is without wearing a mouth guard. Now, there's a bunch of people out there that are manufacturing mouth guards, and I'll tell everybody the same thing. Whether you wear mine or whether you wear somebody else's, a custom mouth guard is 1,000 times better than any boil and bite that you're going to buy on the market. It just definitely is. It's in the manufacturing of the mouth guard that makes it different. I participate in the sport. I've been doing jiu-jitsu now for 10 years. I've wrestled since I was 12, and I'm still on the mat. I was rolling the other night up at Gracie Barra, and I'm 47 now. So I still compete, so I know what everybody is looking for in a mouth guard. And I've been in the dental industry now for 26 years.
Pretty good, pretty good. Hey, Joe, you were talking about some NFL guys wearing your mouth guards. You know,
yes, sir.
Who do you got out there wearing them?
You know what, Ray? I had some guys from the Rams that were wearing my mouth guard. It's kind of, being honest with you, it's kind of tapered off on me with that. I've really kind of put my focus into the UFC guys. I'm working with Lyoto Machida. I've done mouth guards for a lot of bigger guys, and kind of tapered off from looking at that field as of right now. I do have guys that are going to be trying my new product, my boil and bite, that are in a lower league type of a football, kind of like minor league football, and that's with that new boil and bite that I was talking about earlier.
I played 3 years minor league football. You know, like I said, you're the official mouth guard of Takedown. Isaac, Terry on both wear it. They love it. They wouldn't wear anything else after they tried yours. You know, what other athletes, if you're at the local level, do you have that's wearing them, that are, you know, guys we've got to look out for?
You're talking about up and coming guys?
Yeah, you know, guys fighting, you know, King of the Cage, Bama.
You know what? Ray, I apologize. I know you're asking me for names, and I'm horrible with names. I meet so many people daily that it's hard for me to remember names of people that are wearing them. I've got guys that are wearing them in King of the Cage, thanks to Ty I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank right now, guys. I apologize
okay.
for that. It's okay. You know what? It's funny. It's when you're not speaking in regards to being on the air or whatever, and then now you're on the air. It's my mind just went blank on me, guys. I apologize.
Oh, it happens all the time. Okay, so if someone wanted to get a custom mouth guard, what's the process? What's turnaround time?
Turnaround time for me right now is running about 2 weeks. It takes me that long for the simple fact that I do my product on a time-honored type of a deal. I get an impression. I make that impression into a model. I let that model do the things that it needs to do in order to make sure that when that mouth guard fits you, it fits you right. I take orders through. I'll have my website up and running within this week. Right now, the best way to reach me is through my phone number. Is it okay if I throw that out there?
Yeah, go ahead, sir. Throw it out there.
Sure. My phone number is 949-933-9994. The guy that you get on the phone is the guy that makes them. I make them. The one that does all the work for the mouth guards. I don't have a crew. It's just me and myself. So when you reach me on my phone, you talk to me. I'm the guy that's going to make the mouth guard for you.
And, you know, he's not lying about that. Joe is the one who takes care of it. He comes out to your fight, makes sure it fits correct. You see him there with his blowtorch. How you bite here, bite there. You know, you're not going out there, and if it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. He makes sure it fits right the first time. He's great. I mean, I haven't dealt with any other mouth guards yet, but, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Bite Me is the way to go.
Now, let me, Ray, I'd like to jump in and ask Joe a few questions. You know, I've actually talked and dealt with, in many different aspects, quite a few mouth guard companies from here, Canada, and Europe mostly. But I'm curious, how big of a problem is it for you, or how do you address the problem of sending a dental kit and getting a correct impression? Because you know as well as I do, some fighters aren't smart.
I'm only laughing because I've had hundreds of them come back with the impressions no good. The guy that originally came up with the concept of being able to mail order mouth guards. Back when I started making mouth guards, the only way you could get a mouth guard was to go into a dental office. You couldn't do it any other way. And the reasoning for that was because dentists had pretty much a lock on it. It was, if you were caught putting your hands into somebody's mouth, you were at risk of being sued for practicing dentistry without a license.
Wow.
So I came up with a way in order to be able to mail order. And really, guys, how I came up with it was I was sitting at home and I went, there has to be a way to do this. At that time, my son was 8, and I went, here, read these instructions and tell me if you can do this. And he read it, and he mixed the materials, and he put it in the tray, and he came back to me with an impression. And I figured if an 8-year-old could do it, it should be able to send through the mail. Now, with my background, I've been working in the dental industry and also in a dental laboratory. I can, if the impression isn't off too great, I can usually make that model work. Just because of my dental anatomy background with working at laboratories and for as long as I've been in the dental industry, I can usually make the model function well enough that the mouth guard, when you receive it, will work. Now, perfect example, Chris Brennan, he lives in Texas. He sent me an impression. I got it. And I looked at it, and I called him up and told him, hey, Chris, I got to send you this back. It's not going to work. He goes, I can't. My fight's coming in a couple of days. I need you to try with what you have. I sat down. I hand-carved his model out, sent it to him. He called me up and told me, hey, this thing fits great. No problem. It's just like the old one that you made me. So having that anatomy background really works.
Yeah, no, I've always wondered about that, you know, with your ability to be able to say, okay, look, I know so far the first 8 teeth were lined like this. It looks like he just didn't bite down hard enough on the last molar. I know if I cut it down X amount, it should fit just right. I mean, that has to just come from years of making them over and over and seeing every kind of impression.
You know, I've worked chair side. I worked with one of, at that time, 35 fellow implantologists, and we did all everything, craniofacial reconstruction, sinus lifts, orthodontics, implants, overdentures. So, you know, knowing that anatomy and knowing how to make the things function, it's got a lot to do with how the mouth guard fits and how the mouth guard works. When the mouth guard goes into somebody's mouth, it should fit like it's part of a glove. You shouldn't even feel the mouth guard in your mouth. You should be able to talk with it. You should be able to have a conversation and still have clear speech. And that's the big importance on how somebody manufactures a mouth guard for you.
Now, Ray, one more question. I'll let you jump back in, brother. This is a curiosity of mine. When we're watching a fight, and I see a guy take a shot that does not put him on his ass, but maybe rattles him a little bit, stumbles him, hits the fence, but his mouth guard flies out. Is that due to him having a mouth guard that doesn't fit correctly, or is that just the impact of the punch?
You know what? A good fitting mouth guard, a good properly fitting mouth guard should stay put. You should have to take a mouth guard and pull it out. I've never seen anybody wearing one of my mouth guards in the years I've been making it get hit and take a punch and the guard flying out. Usually the mouth guard will come out if there is movement in the mouth guard. Because of the way I manufacture my mouth guards without really saying, hey, this is what I do, I'm different than the guys that are out there because I care about what I'm giving you. If I don't believe the mouth guard is going to be right because I see something in a model or see something that is just not going to work correctly, I'll call you and tell you. I won't put my name on a product that's not good. And if I feel that I need to send you another impression, I'm going to send you that other impression just to make sure that we get it correctly. Mouth guards that fly out or that can be flicked out with their tongue, there's a few ways that it could be. It could be that the impression wasn't good. It could be that somebody that made that mouth guard doesn't quite understand how the materials work, or it could be that the guy has a poor anatomy.
Cool, man. Thank you. Good answer,
yes.
Man. Good answer.
did that answer that for you?
Well, you know,
yes,
you know,
yes.
as a cornerman, I can tell you, you have to really pull to take out bite me mouth guards. They just don't pop out.
They should be tight. They really should. You should have to pull that mouth guard out of their mouth. It shouldn't just flick out with their tongue.
Now, you know, Ray, obviously you've worked closely with Bite Me mouth guards. What is, you know, your favorite design you've seen? And then, Joe, I'd like to know what your favorite design you've ever made is.
Sure.
He did one for Terrion Ware with the lightning bolt on it. His nickname is the Flash. That's my favorite one. You know, he smiles when he's about to hit somebody. He's got that lightning bolt right there.
Joe, what's your favorite you've ever got to make logo-wise or design-wise?
You know, I've made a bunch, and actually I'm into doing different things right now. I have a really good friend of mine that's a great artist, and he's been putting together mouth guards for me right now that glow in the dark. And we made one for Jamie Yeager. And everybody knows Yeager. He's got the big fro, and we made him fangs. And when we put it on him and we took a picture of him just in normal light, it was like cool. But when we turned off the light and we put the black light on it, he looked like a werewolf, like something that should be in a movie. And that one, I have to say, was one of the best ones that I've done so far. But we did a couple for... I don't know if I can name names, but we've done some for real big guys in the UFC that are glow in the dark with their logo on it, and it's incredible. It's the artwork and the way that these things are coming out that are just insane, you know. And I wish I could drop names, but I don't know if I can, or if I can't, I don't want to put anybody in any positions.
That's fair, very fair.
But let's just say he was one of the guys that just fought and didn't get his title back. How is that?
No, I like that. I like that. Obviously, you know, we brought Ray on and helped him get a show going because we're trying to open the rest of the world to SoCal MMA. Do you got an organization or an event that you really like to see because of the matchups?
You know what? Sparstar does a great job. Tony Padilla does a great job. There's a lot of events that are coming up in SoCal. You know, I guess everybody knows Bellator is pretty much stationed here. I just have a love for the sport, guys. Up-and-coming guys, I would have to say Tony's one of the best guys that's out there. He really does a good job, and he cares about the fighters. He gives them the love that they need. He really takes them under his wing, and he kind of coaches them through what they need to know. Once you get into the bigger shows, you know, you got Bellator here. You've got guys that are fighting pretty much every weekend. And, gosh, I can't say enough good about Tony, to be honest with you. The guy's a great guy.
I told Ray tonight when we were talking before the show, Tony is somebody that MMA Madhouse has followed for some time, and I'm really excited to finally get to talk to him. You know, 600 shows I've done, and I haven't had a chance to ever talk to him, but he is somebody I know, and I'm very honored to be able to talk to him tonight.
He's a good guy. He really does care about what he's doing, and you know, the MMA went through the dark ages there for a while. Basically, it all went underground, and then all of a sudden the UFC came, and it gave it a big boom. And everybody's kind of riding the wave, you know. I've been in the industry long enough that I've watched, gosh, I mean, if I started telling stories, you guys would think I was telling stories, to be honest with you. You know, the first mouth guard I ever made for a professional fighter was Randy Couture. And I actually put my equipment in my car, and I drove to Grisham, and I got locked.
I was going to say, that's funny because I'm just down the street.
Well, I got locked in the gym because I wound up making, in a weekend, I made 15 mouth guards for everybody on Team Quest. And it was one of Matt Lindland's first shows that he was putting on up there. Sport fight, yes, sir. And I got to sit ringside with Lin-Lin, Heath Sims, Randy Couture, Dan Henderson, and all those guys. And I've been at it since. And it's the passion of this sport that keeps me going. There's been many a times where I thought just to hang this up and quit. And I come back to it because I see what's out there and I see what's on the market and I see what people are doing. And everybody just wants the quick buck. I'm not after the quick buck. I believe in what I do, and I believe in the guys that I'm giving my product to. And it takes a passion to stay at it, even to the point where it's like, hey, I'll give it all up. I don't care. But this is going to work because I believe in this sport. This sport's a great sport. The people that are doing it, I can't say enough about. I haven't really met anybody that's participating in this sport that has been, well, let's just say, ungrateful for what I've given to them.
Well, you know, Joe, I got to tell you what, you know, we've got a few minutes left, and I want to say, as being the very first guest on Sunday Night Fights Live, I want to thank you for, A, doing that, B, for the product that you provide for athletes out there to keep them safe in competitions of all sorts. And B, or third, whatever, C, sorry, I forgot where I was going.
It could be Z for all I care. I don't really, you know.
I want you to take this time to give any shout-outs, any social media information, any gym company information, anything that you want to get out, anybody you want to thank, you take it. It's your time, sir.
Hey, thank you guys so much. Hey, I want to thank Ray. I want to thank Tony. I want to thank everybody that's really stuck beside me, the guys from Subfighter MMA, Tracy Hess, been a big supporter of me for a long time. You know, I've got guys at Black House now that are big supporters of me. Pedro, I've got Pedro Munoz, bunch of the guys over at Black House, all the guys that are just sticking by me that see my product, that know what I'm doing. You guys can reach me right now at my phone number that I gave you earlier, 949-933-9994. Look for our website coming up hopefully this week. I got a good buddy of mine. We're going to be running a lot of good specials for you guys. He does all the mass marketing for Boot Barn, and he does all of their website stuff. So my website's going to be one of a kind, guys, so be looking for it.
All right, thanks a lot, Joe. Appreciate your time.
Hey, guys. Hey, thank you so much, Ray. Thank you for your time. Everybody, thanks.
Have a good night, brother. Thank you so much.
You too. Hey, I hope I didn't go off the deep end there on you.
No, actually, I was just my partner who, in MMA Madhouse with not only the websites, the couple of websites we own, but the radio stations that we're now growing to. He was asking how everything's going. I was like, dude, bro, this clip's going on down in Tampa, because we have a 3 radio station deal in Tampa. Each week they run the clips we pick from all 5 shows over a 3-hour block every night. And I was like, dude, this is going on. So, you know, 4.5 million people next week will be listening to this on Tampa AM Sports Radio.
Hey, I appreciate it. Like I said, if I had the opportunity to just tell stories, the things that I could tell you guys would just be mind-boggling. I've been at it that long.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to have to definitely, obviously, this is Ray's show, but we're going to have you back on in the future, brother, because, I mean, just to even tell us some stories or catch us up on something, but we'll find a way to get you back on.
Definitely.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks
for the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Take care. We'll be talking to you, Ray.
All right. See you later.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Ray, you nailed it. The first guest ever on the show. What a great one. Everybody, that's Joe Rice at Bite Me Mouth Guards. You get out there and you find them. You get some. Protect that grill. Save $10,000 in doctor bills.
Definitely.
And I'm going to go ahead and jump back in queue and get Tony ready. Why don't you go ahead and give everybody a rundown of Tony, and I'll be back with you shortly.
Okay, we got Tony Padilla coming up next. He's a promoter for Sparstar MMA, also works closely with Bellator MMA. Sparstar is one of the local Los Angeles amateur organizations. Used to have a TV show a while back, a reality TV show called Sparstar MMA, basically showcasing all the local amateur fights here in California. It was very well produced. He's got a lot of guys that came through his program that are going on to bigger things. He's done a couple other shows. He's on an MTV show featuring his fighters. Great guy, really pushes the fighters, shows them what the industry is about, what to look out for. You know, he's not one of these guys who's just helping make a quick dollar. When you fight for Sparstar, you're part of the Sparstar family. And you know it, the way he treats you. You know, one of the promoters out there that really treats his fighters well.
Well, dude, he is ready if you're ready.
T-Bone, what's up?
T-Bone's always ready, baby. How you doing, Ray?
That's right.
So how's everything going tonight? It's a tough act to follow with Joe Rice, a well-spoken Caucasian there.
That he is. So, T-Bone, first question of the day. What did you make for dinner? Everybody knows what a great chef you are.
Actually, today we went out and when it has fish tacos, so something simple. I didn't cook dinner on a Sunday. Sundays, it is a family day. I do like to cook, but today we took it easy and went to a local seafood restaurant. But indeed, I am a great chef. Actually, my background is culinary arts. Graduated in 93 from a program at UCLA. So, Skippy, if you ever meet me, you'll know that I eat very well.
Yes, you do eat very well.
Go ahead, Ray, finish.
He does eat very well. He cooks even better. I mean, this summer they had the Sparstar OC Fight Doc Barbecue. Oh, man, the food was amazing. I don't know who he ate more, me or Mark Krisky, because we were grubbing like crazy.
I think everybody ate pretty well that day.
I would definitely say that we're going to have to hang out because I've been a chef for 18 years. I actually have managed kitchens for the last few years, predominantly so I had more time to spend in growing Madhouse. So, we're going to have to get together and do some cooking, brother. And, B, I got to know what's the deal? Did you have fried tacos or grilled fish tacos?
They were battered. I wanted grilled, but that option wasn't at this restaurant. It was a Hispanic seafood restaurant, so they're more into the frying. I still ate it.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know we got to – really, a fish taco's got to be pan-seared and served on a double set of corn tortillas with, you know, some good pico de gallo and queso de fresco on there, man. That's how you got to do it. I don't like the bready.
No, I like the black, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Actually, you've got some Hispanic fans right now in the Seattle area who are very happy about what you're talking about. They're sending me messages.
Go to my Facebook. I post the food porn pretty much throughout the whole week, and that's TonyPadillaFacebook.com.
You know what you need to do, T-Bone? You need to have, coinciding with a fight, you need to have like a barbecue pit master type of thing with the fight team competing and cooking, make a whole day out of it, like a festival type of thing. I know we would definitely be in the show. I'd love to be a judge.
If I could clone myself, that would definitely happen. Maybe when Skip comes down to the SoCal area, we'll be able to arrange that.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to. Now, what do you got coming up for all the fans listening? What's on the plate for you?
Well, we're coming off our first show of 2014. That was January 25th. Great event, off the hook, great fights, great crowd, good beer, hot ring girls, all the above. And now we're gearing up for March 7th, Hollywood Park Casino. Right now we have about 10 fights lined up with the title fight, Marcos Bonilla from Defiant Gym versus Tanner Chapman from IMAC at 145. That one's going to be a doozy. It's going to be a slugfest. So also got Tatiana Padilla making her Spar Star debut. She fought a couple weeks ago on another organization, so she's 1-0, fighting Jessica Pryor at 2-0. That one's going to be a good one as well.
Now, you touched on a female's fight. As somebody who's been doing this for a little bit and been around the business, what is your perception of what is going on today with the growth of women's MMA? Do you feel like it's going the right direction, or do you feel like, with the way Zuffa stepped in with two singleized weight classes, that it's hurting the women because they're fighting out of their weight classes to try to get a record in the UFC-style weight classes?
I definitely like the trend that's going on right now with women's MMA. I've always loved women's MMA. I mean, I've had Ashley Evans-Smith fight for us, a few other notable women. But the trend is great. I mean, with the two weight classes, I think eventually more open up, more avenues open up for these women. But from what I see right now, it's great. I can't tell you how great it is. I have on this card coming up, right now we have two confirmed women fights, and it looks like we may be able to get two more before the March 7th date. So I definitely a big fan of the trend right now.
I personally think that what we're seeing, especially in the amateurs, is great. The growth and the amount of more availability for young ladies to get and perform at the amateur level. My only concern is I'm seeing some pros take fights out of weight classes because they want to impress, you know, the 135 or the straw weights divisions, you know, because they're trying to make a name there. And I'd like to see them just continue to fight in their natural weight class and go to maybe Invicta, you know?
Yeah, no, Invicta's another great promotion that obviously with all the divisions they have there, you know, that's a great avenue to go for these women. And it looks like, they just did a big deal yesterday. Did they sign 15 more women? Something like that?
Yep, they did. They just signed, I think it was 15 women, I think 3 Americans and 12 out of country. And I it's funny you say that because I want to ask you as a promoter, you're trying to grow your business, no different than Invicta. Wouldn't it, And tell me if I'm wrong, please, but wouldn't it be smart to now take that and go out of region, go out of the norm for you looking for talent, for like you maybe to go up to NorCal or into Southern Oregon or maybe into Arizona, New Mexico, you know, because that's what they did. And a lot of people are upset that they didn't sign more American fighters, but I feel like they're trying to grow their business. You've got to reach out to new locations. I mean, aren't you slowly getting fighters from farther and farther away?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I've actually reached out to Arizona, Nevada, Texas this past week, even for these amateurs. Obviously, we like to have a SoCal talent on, but sometimes you got to look at these other states with the talent they have and bring them in versus the SoCal guys or girls. I think it's a must. Like I said, I'm looking at actually doing a show in Texas this summer. I'm actually flying out in April to El Paso to go scope out the scene over there, get a license in Texas, and hopefully do a pro show in Texas this summer.
That's okay, you know, we want in on that card. You know, that's where my family's from, El Paso. We're there. We want
this
in
is,
on that.
This is breaking news, brother. I haven't told anybody about it.
Wow.
It's a great location.
I'm excited.
Great location.
Chico's Tacos, you need to get them as a sponsor.
And then after that, we're looking at Corpus Christi as well.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah, now see, good area.
We are making moves. I mean, I love Cali. I love what's going on here. I am probably going to go up and down the state here, but I am going to venture outside the state, whether it's me going out or talent coming in. It's a must.
Okay, Tony, changing directions here. You got to tell me, how was it the other day in the Bellator office when you guys sang Gilbert Melendez?
Well, you know what? They've been so busy with the Season 10 opener in a couple weeks. I have not been in the offices, but I saw the Twitter blowing up. I saw everything blowing up, and I myself had an erection, if that's okay to say. Well, it's too late. I said it anyway.
Dude, you and me both, brother. You and me both. And I'm going to tell you right now.
The vibe is out there. The vibe is out there. It's definitely a good thing. And, I mean, these fighters need more than just one avenue to go down. There needs to be more than one big plan block.
Thank you. I'm going to tell you right now, and Ray, I am going to cut you off again. I'm so sorry. I know this is your show, brother. A,
no
Tony,
problem.
I've waited years to meet you and talk with you. But B, this is something my normal co-host on the show I host, this is something we've been going over for over 2 years now with fans and fighters and trying to get them to understand. You take your talents to who's going to pay you the best. There is no longer a top league. Dude, Kenny Gardner, $200,000 in M1 to fight for a title. Fighters in rough China making three times what American fighters make fighting on an undercard in the UFC. Fighters for KSW, EFC Africa, a $1 million tournament in Dare. You know, there are better paychecks, and no longer is the top talent only in the Zuffa market. We have Paul Harris, Yushin Okami, you know, and I don't care what anybody says, but Leonard Garcia is still a top fighter to me. He brings it. And I am glad that Gil took the pride in his talent and said, if you don't want to pay me what I'm worth, somebody else will. And I want anybody who can give him this message, thank you for saving the sport of MMA, Gilbert Melendez. You were the first person to do this and do it right, and I support you wholeheartedly.
We're all on the same boat there, but do you think UFC is going to match that?
No. No. They would have never let him walk if they had any concern about matching it. And that's my concern is everybody talks about, oh, Zuffa this, Zuffa that. Don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not saying it's some kind of crap organization and that fighters can't fight there. But what I'm saying is if you can get a solid paycheck because that's what your career is and it's limited to less than 5 years on the average, you go where the best pay for the best bang is.
It's business. Exactly.
It's not personal,
Marvel,
man. Yeah, Gilbert's got he's got a chance to lead a revolution in this sport to where fighters quit bowing down to Dana and Joe and the Zuffa machine and say, look, what do you mean I can't go over here? The top talent right now for me at 125 in the world is Demarte the Wolf Pena, six-time defending champion EC Africa, okay? He comes over to the UFC, I'd put $1,000 that says, nine of the top 10 guys, he can clean their house. This guy's that talented. But because he's not in Zuffa, we're supposed to act like he's not good? No. Gilbert leaves after beating Benson and having fight of the year, and we're not supposed to believe he's a top 10 talent and that everybody should be scared of? Get out with that poop.
No, I definitely agree with you. And as far as Bellator and Gilbert Melendez, I think Gilbert Melendez, I'm not going to say the floodgates are going to open now, but it's opening a lot of eyes, and people are going to start thinking twice about UFC, I'm a UFC fighter, that's my label, or do you want to get paid and go to another organization that's not as well known as UFC? So I think it's going to start happening more and more often.
I mean, definitely Bellator is more accessible to the people now. You know, they're on all the time on regular cable, not pay-per-view. You know, who wants to pay $50 every other week to watch the UFC? And now Dana's going after people who are trying to get the bootlegs of his fights. It's just wrong. You know, Bellator.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a UFC fan. I'm actually a combat sports fan. I love all of these organizations.
Thank you.
Some, you know, I don't agree with their views. I still watch them, but doing 50 shows in 1 year, I think, wow, that's just crazy.
Okay, Tony, right here, right now, you said you were going to give away 2 tickets to a lucky fan here in L.A. We're going to go ahead and have them hit up Skippy with the answer. What's the question of the day, Tony?
Question of the day would be, what I have for dinner yesterday? No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be, going back to my first show, 2008, a pro show, my main event, tell me who my main event was, July 25th, 2008, 2 tickets, March 7th, Far Star Promotions, Hollywood Park.
All right, first person gets the answer right, Skippy. And you know what? That's the exact question that I was thinking of asking.
Okay, first main event, your first main event at Hollywood Park, right?
No, this was at Montebello Quiet Cannon, July 25th, 2008, my first show ever.
Okay.
The two answers are first right.
Yeah, I'm gonna post this real quick. I'll let you guys talk.
So I heard you got a new big time sponsor for Sparstar coming up on this next show.
Oh man, the sponsor.
Who'd you lock in?
I love it. We have Persist, we have Sick, we have Bite Me. Those are the new ones on board. And actually, we have Don Chelada, the Michelada Mix Cups. So I'm a big fan of those. You'll see me with those, probably double-fisting it on the 7th.
So are they going to be available for sale? Or are they giving away? What's going on?
Yes.
I know I need a couple.
They will be there for sale.
Cool. Just make sure they're set up right next to my booth.
Have you ever tried them?
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
I mean, and not just for beer. I put my Gatorade in it, too.
You're kidding me.
No, I do.
Wow, I'm not going to say I'm going to try that. I'll stick to my usual.
So who is the one fighter that came through the Sparks organization that has achieved the most, in your opinion?
Ooh, right now, off the top of my head, I mean, we've had Jade Silva. He's fought Bellator. He's fought UFC. I think now he's fighting in Poland. We've had Sevak Magakian. He's fought UFC and actually made the tough cast. But I would say right now, off the top of my head, it'd be Ashley Evans-Smith. You know, beating Fallon Fox. She made headlines around the world.
Oh, yeah, she did. Yeah, I mean, that was a fight that I don't think should have went down. But you know what? Ashley did what she needed to do, and she beat it. I'm saying it because I don't know what to call it.
She dominated, bro.
She's somebody we followed and actually been interviewing for close to almost 2.5 years now. We've had her on maybe about 10 times, watching her progress. I think right now she is probably one of the top 3 talents that's really unknown in the world, let alone just this country.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm interested to see what World Series does with her. I don't even think they've announced a fight with her yet, but I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, they had to go ahead and swoop her right away before Super tried to come in and get her, because she's doing big things. She's going to be big. Right now, who do you think is the best amateur out there in your organization? I mean, you've got to be one of your champions.
Ooh. You know what? My 45er, which just went pro, Fabian Gonzalez, he's good. Matthew Spencer just won the 185 belt. He's a stud.
Andre Nicholson, great guy, great champion, but you talk about Fabian Gonzalez. Yeah, I know a little bit about Fabian.
Oh,
great
yeah,
he guy.
Fought Isaac, correct?
Yeah, he fought Isaac, pro debut, great fight. Fabian's even a greater guy. The next day at Farstar, decides to buy me beers and get me drunk that night to celebrate his win. He beats my guy and says, let's party. You know what? Yeah, let's party, bro.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He's a real good dude. And actually, you know, comes from a great camp with Eddie Chow over there. Eddie Chow has a great group of guys over there, man. That guy's producing chat.
Oh, yeah, Eddie Chow, great guy. You got Cisco Rivera over there. My mentor, Mike Rush, is over there now. You know, it's great camp. You know, Max Cisneros is over there. Lom Pham is over there.
Yeah, speaking of Cisco, man, I was bummed to hear what happened. He had to pull out of his fight. I think it was a hand injury.
Oh,
he was,
man.
And the thing is, I had tickets to the fight. Well, I still have tickets, a room at the Mandalay Bay, and I was looking forward to this fight, and obviously now I can't see it. And now the Cormier fight changed to Mr. Cummings now, so let's see how that one pans out.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's sad to hear. Cisco's a great guy. You know, hang out with him all the time. You know, trains with some more guys, you know, every now and then. Great guys. That's sad to hear.
So your thoughts on that Cormier and Pat Cummins fight?
Oh, don't even get me started. You will get... Okay, first of all,
I want to hear it.
Okay.
Actually, I posted something on Facebook when I heard the news that Patrick Cummins was fighting. I kind of heard his name before. I looked him up. I looked at the people he's fought, and I wasn't too impressed. I know he has a wrestling pedigree, but I still wasn't impressed. I think Cormier is going to eat him alive. But then people jumped on and do your homework before you start talking out of your you-know-what. So I did my homework even more, and I'm still on the same page. I'm not putting anything against him. I just think Cormier is that much better.
I've watched him fight a couple of times, including this last fight at Sparta Combat League, Grizzly Rose, over there in Colorado. We were actually ringside for that fight. We do a lot of work in that state. And I think the guy, and this is no disrespect to him, but you guys know this, and true fans know this. You have two kinds of pros. You got regional pros, and you got guys who are big show pros. Guys who are going to travel internationally, fight for one of the top 10 companies, you know, make a paycheck, have a good name. And you got guys who will always fight in their region. They'll be 8-12, you know, when they're all said and done, and, you know, their families and friends will support them. Cummins is going to be one of those guys. And it's no disrespect to him, but he is not near on the level. And this is Dana White feeding a can to Cormier to help build the hype around him, because when the hype shatters, and it will, because the guy has weak hands, he's broken them in almost every fight. He's a great wrestler, but this ain't the sport of wrestling. I'm sick and tired of seeing a points fight, but I'm telling you right now, Cormier will win this fight. It will be boring. It will be a wrestling match. And then when he does fight somebody like Rashad or somebody in the 205 weight class that's, you know, legitimate contenders, they're going to kill him. Somebody like Gus, who we've seen with great, you know, takedown defense and great superior striking, Glover. Dude, you put him in there with Glover, Glover will kill him. You know, I just don't see it. And I'm more concerned about him even making weight. Now, folks are going to say right now, well, he fought 170, wrestled 176 in college. That was college, folks. Your metabolism's changing as you're getting older. It's a lot harder to cut off those pounds that you put on.
You're telling me, brother.
You know, dude, straight up, I think after seeing that interview where he was super cocky and disrespectful, where he's like, I won't even call you Patrick or Pat anymore because we're not friends anymore, you know.
Yeah.
I felt that was very disrespectful, and we've all seen Cormier. He's never been an aggressive guy before a fight like that, and I think it's because he knows he was given a can, and Dana White wants to build him up, and I just don't like it. I don't like it. I think you cancel that fight, or you bring in a true contender. You don't give a guy who supposedly a heavyweight was number three, you know, for the title, and now drops down to 205, and one fight, and he's a contender, and he hasn't even had that fight yet, and then you give him a can? Come on. You're going to tell me there was nobody in the top 15 at 205 that he could have fought.
Yeah, my question was to you would be, would you rather them scrap the fight and postpone it, or give him somebody else like a Chael Sonnen or somebody? Who would you rather see him in there with?
Truthfully, I would like to have seen them scrap the fight ultimately because, you know, anybody you throw in there right now, it was going to be such a short notice fight, which I felt, you know, wasn't the best situation. What is it, 10 days or whatever? But if you're going to put him in a fight right now, I say you bring in Mauricio, you put him in there with him. You put him in there against Igor, you know, Prokrakovic, or however you say his last name. What about Anthony Perosh or James Tahuna? You know, what about Krill? What about Nog? I mean, put him in there against Nog. Why not? Why not little Nog in there? What a great guy. Brazilian jiu-jitsu, great striker. We know he's got guts, and he's not afraid to bang or go to the ground. Put him in there against Nog. Nog hasn't been on the card for 6 months at least.
Yeah, no, I agree. Totally agree with that one.
You know, what about Robert Drysdale? Why don't you put him in against – didn't you bring Robert Drysdale in supposedly at 205 to help determine what the true ranking order is? You brought this beast from Legacy who killed DJ Linderman, who at the time had international titles and wins all over the world. You bring him in. We haven't even got to see him do anything. Put him in there against Cormier.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah, dude, sorry, bro. I go off all day on this.
Yeah, so we'll see next week. I'll be in attendance there.
All right, switching gears here, Tony. There's always celebrities in your crowd. Who can we expect to see at this next four star?
You know what? I don't really go out looking for them. Obviously, I'm friends with quite a few big-name fighters, but they're always busy, so I'm not really hounding them to come or make an appearance. It's just not me. I'd rather see them out at a barbecue, at a bar, and have a beer with them, whatever. But you know what?
We gotta get Mayhem back. That guy is crazy.
You know what? I haven't seen him since the Bama show, and we all know what happened there. And it just so happened at the Bama show, I was with him at the bar 20 seconds before all that happened. So we're at the bar, you know, we're chopping it up. Yeah, and then next thing you know, he walks away, and then 20 seconds later, there's a big old melee, and I'm like, oh, my God, what happened there?
I
talked to him. No, I was still at the bar. You know where I post up. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, do we have any answers to the question of the day?
Not yet, though. People from Jeff Meyer at Tough all the way to Nathan Brownfield so far all liking it. So, I mean, people around the country are liking it. Let's see if somebody's willing to Google it and get that answer.
Definitely.
No worries. Even if it happens later on in the show, it's all good. You guys just give me names. We'll leave them at will call. We'll make sure we take care of them.
Definitely. Sounds like a plan.
I still didn't answer your question. I actually was with Chet Congo about a week ago. We had dinner, and I know his camp's going to be starting up if it hasn't started already, so I'm not sure he'll make it out. But we'll see. We'll have to tell you guys in the next show, next time you guys have me on here, bud.
Sounds good. I think next week we're having your matchmaker, Mel Valenzuela, on the show.
Big Melly Mel.
Big Mel, you got a spot next week.
The man with the same ideas as me. Actually, it's the first, if I've done 40 shows, the first 35, 32, I match made myself. And it just got overwhelming to where we're starting to grow. I have more things to do, more responsibilities. So it was about time I hired a matchmaker. Met Mel through a mutual friend, and we just clicked. From the first minute we talked, we're all on the same page as far as how we want things matched up, you know, from age, weight, experience level. I mean, just all the particulars you need to do a good match. You just don't want to get 245ers and put them in there, you know. So that's why I brought Mel on board. And, dude, he's been nothing but great for the company, putting some good fights, letting me do my thing on the promotional aspect. So it's actually worked out really, really well, so... Treat my man good next week.
Oh, great matchmaking. Even when you were doing the matchmaking, it was great. There was never a boring fight. You know, Sparser, everyone knows that's the place to go for amateur fights here in L.A.
Well, you know how we do it. Good fights, cold beer, and hot women.
And that's right. Speaking of hot women, you got Miss Mexico as one of your ring card girls.
Miss Mexico, Vanessa Navarro, she's the godsend. she promotes her little booty off and does her thing. Very, very gracious girl. Very humble, very approachable. Everything you need in a ring girl.
Now, before we wrap up, because we've only got a couple minutes left of this segment with you, man, take some time. Anybody you want to thank, any shout-outs, any information for fighters, managers, social media, whatever you want, you take this time, brother.
All right, my man. Yeah, I definitely do. You can follow me on Twitter, T-Bone Steaks with a Z. Hit me, follow me, watch my food porn. See all the silly things I talk about. Facebook, Tony Padilla. And my sponsor, let's see if you guys are ready for my list here. We got Takedown, of course. We got Bite Me, Down to Scrap, the newest one, Don Chalada, Persist, Sick, Eliminate, Sniper, Fight Me, OC Fight Docs by man William Kessler, Beachfront 301, Too Crazy for You, Kingpin Fight Cartel, and SCC. All guys that support me, so I hope you guys support them as well.
Oh, definitely. You know, once again, when this replays up for fans to listen to, you guys, make sure you guys get out there and catch all those names and go out there and, you know, like the different companies that are supporting local MMA. You guys hear this on my show all the time, man. If we don't support Tony and his sponsors, we don't have MFC. We don't have EFC. We don't have UFC and Bellator. Look, it all starts local, folks. You've got to support local MMA. Get out there and buy a T-shirt next time you're at the show. Have a fighter sign. Next time you got an extra $50, go to one of these sponsors and buy a dozen hand wraps and go to a local gym and give them to some amateurs who are just learning the sport. Go out there and buy an extra ticket and give it to a buddy so he can go to Tony's event and help support Tony, who is giving these guys a safe, viable platform to learn their craft on.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you for that. All that is true. I appreciate you guys' time. Good job, Ray. Keep it up, my
Thanks.
Man. Skippy, pleasure to find you, man.
Oh, brother, thank you.
I hope I kept up with that Caucasian, Joe Rice.
Well, for me, the food, you won.
Sounds good, gentlemen.
Have a good night.
All right, Tony, I owe you a 12-pack, bro.
Right on. Who's coming on next?
We got Isaac coming up next.
Sweet.
Isaac Velasco, the Iron Man.
Wait, I'm going to tune in, guys. All right, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Later.
Peace.
Ray, you are killing it with your lineup so far. I mean, great conversations. I can't imagine what this next 45 minutes is going to be like, because now we're bringing fighters on board. So why don't you do like before, give the fans the rundown. I will grab Isaac.
All right, we got Isaac Iron Man Velasco coming up. He's training out of Systems in Hawthorne. He's coming up on his second pro fight. He's making his King of the Cage debut on national TV. It's going to be on MAV TV. He's an amateur champion, Quake in the Cage, 145-pound champ. Tore it up at the amateur level. He's coming out, doing his pro thing. He's 0-1 right now. He dropped a tough, tough loss to Fabian Gonzalez. Fight could have went either way. Definitely something that we're going to have to see a rematch one day. Hopefully that rematch will be on TV. That's how good it was. Great kid, college student. The ladies love him. So definitely, you know, he's going to be coming on right now. He's a freestyle fighter with a little bit more of a Muay Thai jiu-jitsu background.
Hey, Ray, I got his voicemail, so we'll give him a minute, and then we'll call right back and see if we can grab him a second time.
Okay, good, good. I mean, yeah, hopefully it's just where he's not getting signal where he's at right now.
Okay, that's fine. We can give it a second. And I'll tell you what, the folks out there, we posted on my wall, MMA Madhouse's wall, and on Sunday Night Fights Live's Facebook wall, the trivia question and the phone number to call in. Once again, anybody who wants to call in to answer that, 310-742-1799, or you could Skype in through the player itself.
Yeah, two free tickets to Spar Star. It's a $90 value, $45 a ticket. You know, a night of great fights, Hollywood Park Casino. It, you know, usually you go to a fight, and you know you got good fights. SparStar is a party where you happen to see fights, and they're great fights. Great music, great DJ. Last time I had a live band, SparStar knows how to put the show on.
Well, you know, I'm super excited, you know, to not only be working with you, but to finally get to meet Tony himself. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, we can start working a partnership deal with him to help expose his leagues through press releases and results and photos through the MMAMadhouse.com website. That's what we're all about. And like I said, I'm really, really excited to see what, you know, Sunday Night Fights Live hosted by Ray Lopez does this year. And I can't imagine the guest list, because I mean, tonight's already just been great.
Oh yeah, next week already on the slate, we got, you know, Mal Valenzuela. He's got, you know, he's the matchmaker for SparStar, also for OC Fight Night. He's also the matchmaker for oh, I'm drawing a blank right now. Hello, Skippy, you still there?
Hey, brother,
hello,
I'm Skippy, back.
There.
Yeah, I'm
okay,
still here. I stepped
you.
Into. No, I stepped in queue real quick to grab Isaac, who is live with us. Why don't you bring him on the show?
Isaac, the Iron Man Velasco. How you doing today, brother?
Very good, man. Very good. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So you got a big fight coming up, King of the Cage, national TV. How are you feeling about that?
Feeling great. I've had a really good training camp. Luckily, I found out about the fight well in advance, so I got a chance to get a full camp in this time. And feeling ready, feeling good.
So who are you fighting? What do you know about him?
I'm fighting a guy named Aaron Williams. He's a guy out from Joe Stevenson's camp. And what I do know about him is that he has a contract with King of the Cage. He did their amateur tournament, and he won like a $25,000 contract with them. I don't know over how many years it is or whatever. But, yeah, I know that he pushes the pace and comes forward and tries to get the takedown.
And isn't that the same tournament you were supposed to be a part of, but they couldn't find anyone who wanted to fight you, who had the balls to step in the cage with you?
Yeah, this is true. This is true. I did get offered to be in the tournament, and when I accepted it, they had somebody for me, and then that guy dropped out, and then they wanted me
to
be an alternate.
You made the best choice of your career, brother. I'm sorry to cut you off there, but the gentleman who won it, a close friend of mine, Anthony the Joker McDonald, the heavyweight who won the $100,000 check, you know that they broke those fights down over 7 years?
Yeah, see, like that was the kind of thing that I really didn't know too much about. So,
wow.
Yeah, in the long run,
seven
it turned
years.
Out to be a good decision, yeah.
Yes, and now here's the thing is, his first fight's for $1,000. He wins that, he bumps up to the next tier, 2,000 and 2,000, all the way up till he's doing 5 and 5 to finish his contract. But they did give him the option to try out for Super Combat, a kickboxing league in Romania that we're friends with. He's trying to get onto that circuit, and if he does, that will not nullify his contract or put him in jeopardy of breaking his contract. But he cannot fight MMA inside mainland United States, you know, whatever, anywhere in the United States, because he's under contract. And he has a fight coming up at King of the Cage, and I'm glad, but I felt bad after we learned what those winners were tied down to.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tight, tough contract, man, and you know, they signed on the dotted line, so you know, they kind of bind to it.
Now, you know, Ray was touching on your opponent and your fights coming up. Before we get too far into that, for all the fans listening tonight around the world, especially overseas and down in the South who maybe don't know who you are, why don't you give them a bio about yourself, like, you know, what your record is, where you're fighting out of, and maybe what got you into the sport?
Okay, well, for starters, I had a pretty extensive amateur career. I had 9 amateur fights. I went 6-3. All 3 of my losses were close, 29-20 decisions. Could have gone either way. And I feel like I could have beat any one of the people that beat me. Let's see. To start, 23 years old, born and raised here in L.A., South Central L.A., to be specific. My parents are from El Salvador. I'm very proud to be Salvadorian, and I always have a flag on my shorts or on my back coming out. So I started training in 2009, right out of high school. I was one of those people who just was always in a sport, either football or track or playing soccer. And so after high school, I wasn't going to play anything for my college. So I just started looking around for something to keep me entertained. And I went to a Sunday intro jiu-jitsu class at the Academy of Mixed Martial Science in over in West L.A., and I signed up the same day. After that, it was just kind of falling in love with the sport, falling in love with kickboxing, jiu-jitsu. A year later was when I had my first fight, and once I got the taste of a fight, I was hooked.
You touched on that you're going to college right now. What are you majoring in? What are you looking at for life after fighting?
I'm majoring in kinesiology. The ultimate goal is to be a physical therapist and own my own practice. Like I said, I was an athlete my whole life, or I still am an athlete. And, you know, there's a real deep appreciation from athletes for those people that get you where you need to be coming back from an injury or just to get you physically where you need to be. So I'm really looking forward to helping people even after my career is over, just helping people get back into the sports that they love.
You know, also another thing that you were touching on is you always go on with either the flag on your back or the Salvadorian flag on your shorts. Now, I've seen where you fight, and when you leave that cage, not only do you have all the Salvadorians behind you, but you have all of the Latinos behind you. How does that make you feel?
It's a very proud feeling. Like I said, I'm very proud to be Salvadorian and to be a Hispanic, and you know, I have that brown pride in me, and you know, I'm the type of fighter, you know, I'll bite down my mouthpiece and come forward, and I love to carry that kind of heritage with me. So when I see Latinos in the stands, and you know, I come out from a fight, and you know, win, lose, or draw, they come up to me and, you know, they pay me my respects and they want to take pictures. And it's an awesome feeling. It's an awesome feeling to be representing the Latino and Hispanic heritage and people. And, I'm real appreciative of the opportunity. You know, every time I go in there, I want to represent.
I'd like to follow up with that. Now, being El Salvadorian, have you had a chance to go home and visit your country?
Yeah, I've gone several times, maybe up in like 10 or 11 times I've been there. not so much so recently, just because I've been so into my fighting these last 4 years. So I haven't had the vacation time really, because if I'm not in school, I'm working. If I'm not working, I'm training for a fight. Or, and when that wasn't happening, I was injured. So it didn't leave too much time to go back home, but I love it there. 80% of my family still lives there, and so I'm hoping to go in the near future, actually.
Would you be willing to maybe go down there as you progress as a pro and maybe work with some of the regional fighters in El Salvador that are at the amateur level to help progress their game? Because I've actually interviewed a couple of fighters over the years, two fighters actually, not a couple, but two, who grew up in El Salvador and had made their way to southern Florida and have slowly progressed. And something they said is it's very lacking in the development there in the MMA community.
Yeah, you know, if I ever had an opportunity like that, I would jump on it immediately. You know, the country itself, it's not doing so great. A lot of it is in shambles. You know, there's a lot of poverty. There's not too much money flow, so it's only, you know, there's not, you know, it's only natural for it not to be thriving as a MMA country. But, you know, I feel if some money gets put into it and into the sport, once people start, you know, seeing what the sport gives them, not only, you know, in a physical sense, but also just teaching, you know, teaching a lot of responsibility and pride and teaching you how to be a man and not having to go out and be in a gang or something like that. You know, I think they'll see a lot of things that they could gain from the sport. And I can really see it growing in that kind of a community.
Now you said 80% of your family is still in El Salvador. Now, I've gone to your fights. The place is packed with your family.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you must have a huge family. I mean, I know your two biggest supporters are your brothers. And Carlos, your two biggest supporters.
Yeah, I do. I have an enormous family, actually. Both my parents, they're from families ranging from 14 to 16 kids. So, you know, you can only imagine how many cousins and nieces and nephews that I have. But, you know, you talked about my brothers. My brothers, they're two of my biggest supporters. They're at every single one of my fights. They bring people, their coworkers, their employees. They, you know, they help my fan base grow. They take me to weigh-ins. You know, they put up with my crankiness on days of weigh-ins. And I love them to death. I'll do anything for them. I'll go to war with them any day.
Another thing I wanted to ask you. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Skippy.
Oh, I was just going to say, you're talking about your family. Has your, you know, obviously your mom is somebody that's important and been supportive, it sounds like, with the rest of your family. But has your mom ever been to any of your fights?
You know what? She's real squeamish. She doesn't like to even see anything on TV like that. She's a big boxing fan, ironically enough, but she doesn't really like the sport of MMA. She'll watch my fights. Once they're over and they're on the internet, she can kind of take, you know, once she knows that I didn't get hurt or that I won, you know, she's willing to watch them. But my dad actually does go to every single one of my fights, and I'm really looking forward to this fight. And putting on a show for him. He's one of my number one fans, and I'm super appreciative that he goes to every single one of my fights.
I wanted to ask you. You know, you're definitely a fan favorite, especially with the ladies. A lot of ladies out there want to know, is the Iron Man single?
Yeah, I'm currently single. I do have some lady fans, and I always appreciate it whenever anybody comes up and asks me for a picture or autograph or anything. I'm always willing. It's pretty cool.
I bet a young man in college fighting women throwing themselves at you, that's a great life, brother.
Yeah, it can be. It can be, you know. It comes with the territory, and it's definitely not just given to me. You know, I work really hard to win my fights, and I work really hard to get the fans and support and respect that I feel I deserve.
You know, preparing for this fight, you're from a tough camp. You got some killers in your camp. Who are some of the guys you're training with right now?
Yeah, Systems Training Center. That's where I'm training out of in Hawthorne, and that is. I feel that we're the best camp for under 155 pounds in Southern California. There's guys, killers. Pedro Munoz just got signed to the UFC last week. He's a BJJ coach at our gym. I'm proud to say that he's a teammate of mine, and we go at it. And, you know, other guys, John Robles, he's a killer. Christos, the Spartan, G.I. Ghost, Terry on the Flash Ware, Dimitri. There's just so many of us in there that, iron sharpens iron, so I can't help but feel that every day I'm going into our gym, and I'm facing some of the best lightweights and featherweights and bantamweights in the world.
You know, with that said, you know, who you're training with, you know, these guys are killers. What would you say was your toughest opponent?
Man, my toughest opponent to date, I would have to say it was against Christian Garcia. I don't know if it was just him, but I was coming off of being sick that fight. I had been on antibiotics for 2 weeks before that fight, and just the entire fight itself was the hardest thing I've gone through as a fighter, having to push through all three rounds. And, yeah, that's the toughest opponent that I've had. He was a grinder, really pushed my cardio to the limits, and, you know, I put out the narrow decision, and it wasn't my best performance, but definitely I could say it was my toughest.
Nice.
Now, I want to touch on, so you're talking about your fights. What fight do you felt you learned the most about yourself as a fighter?
I would have to say that my third fight was against Paul Ewell. And, yeah, that's the fight where I knew that it was something that I could push through being rocked, and I got hit really hard. I got hit with the overhand, and
that
yeah,
was the best one-round fight I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, it took a lot to push through being rocked and then being real deep in on the guillotine. And I actually remember thinking to myself during the fight, you know, he had the guillotine locked in for a few seconds already, and I really didn't see how I was going to get out. And I kind of just told myself, like, look, man, you're not going to tap. So, you know, either you're going to sleep or you're going to get out of this. Like, let's start pushing through. And I ended up escaping, kind of just powered out of it, really. And he kind of burned himself out. So I ended up taking side control, took them out, and I finished them with 1 second left in the round. So that's the fight where, you know, I showed myself that I could push through a lot and still come out with the victory.
All right. I talk to Paul all the time. You know, you're definitely his toughest opponent. Like I said, that was an awesome fight just to sit and watch. I mean, you got rocked twice, came back and still got the win. It was great. I still watch that fight every now and then. You know, it was a great fight. You know, coming up into King of the Cage, you just let them football King of the Cage. When is it? Where is it? How do they get tickets?
The King of the Cage will be March 6th at the San Manuel Casino. The way you can get tickets is through the San Manuel box office online. And I believe tickets start at $40.
Nice. And also, too, it's going to be on national TV, on MAB TV. They're taping it for a national showing later on. Usually they do about 2 or 3 weeks after the event they show it. Great production. You got a great opponent. They're really going to test you. What about any sponsors you want to shout out or training partners, anybody you want to shout out right now?
Yeah, you know, shout out to Joe Rice with Bite Me Mouth Guards. Hands down, the best mouth guard I've ever had in any sport that I've played. You know, Prevail, giving my shorts, Neto Padilla. You know, Takedown, you know, Ray, you know, always very supportive of me, and, you know, he you know, knows what to do for me that's the best. And good luck to Pedro Munoz this week. He's going to be out there representing Black House and representing Systems Training Center. He's going to make some noise in the UFC.
You're good. It's great having you on, Isaac. You know, we wish you luck. You know, I want to thank you for coming on. I want to thank you for your kind words. Good luck with your training camp. We'll see you March 6th. Is it?
March 6th.
I'll actually see you before then, but for everyone else, I can see you March 6th at King of the Cage. Thanks for coming on, and you have a good night now.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
Hey, Ray, it looks like Tony has somebody in line for the win. And John Santamaria, welcome to Sunday Night Fights Live. You're on with the host with the most, Ray Lopez.
Hey, Ray, you're the man, dude. This show's going great so far, brother.
Johnny, what's up, brother?
What's up, man? Looks like I'm going to Sparstar, man. We had got some tickets for the big Joe Camacho fight and Zach Light fight in 2008, brother.
There you go. And you know what, John? Make sure you stop by the takedown booth. And what a lot of people don't know right now, John is one of our guests for next week.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay,
yeah,
that's
man.
Cool.
Hey, I'm listening. I wanted to hear the first show. You guys are doing a great job, man. I'm excited to go see Big Tony Padilla show, too, as well.
Oh, great show, great show. Some of your guys have fought on there. Randy fought. Randy Romero fought on there. Andre Camarena's fought on there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if Richie Placencia's fought on there or not. But
yeah, he fought on there a while back in the days. I don't coach no more, but, you know, it's cool to see that they're still tearing it up and I'm excited, man. I'm excited about your show as well. It's going good, man.
Well, thank you. And we're definitely excited about having you on next week and about what you're doing in the industry, not only as a fighter, but as helping other fighters out. You know, a great guy. I'm glad you won the tickets. I mean, you know, you're deserving of it. And, you know, it's funny that we asked that question that, you know, Joe Camacho was the main event. You know, Joe's basically affected everybody who's been on the show tonight.
Oh, man. Joe is the man. I remember him. I was training guy Johnny Espinoza at the UFC gym, and that's where I met Joe Camacho, and he was a total cool guy, man. I mean, willing to help everywhere, you know, great listener, you know, great teacher, and just, you know, great guy, man, you know.
All right, well, Johnny, thanks for calling in and answering the question right, and, you know, congratulations on winning the tickets, and, you know, we'll see you there March 7th.
All right, brother, appreciate it. You guys have a good night, man.
You too, thank you.
All right, bye.
Wow, there we go, folks. Look at that. Sunday Night Fights Live, giving back to the fans. Thank you, Tony. Everybody, he just won tickets to Friday Night Fights Live MMA Action March 7th at the Hollywood Park and Casino put on by Spars Stars Promotion.
Definitely
and,
a great show.
Dude, that is really cool for Tony to do that on your very first show and for you to get a winner. You know, that's great. And who do we got coming up next? Because I need to get them online.
We got Terry on Flash Ware coming on next.
Okay.
Terry on is a pro fighter.
I'm going to jump in the queue. And, well, so you
okay.
know, I'm going to disappear. You go ahead and talk. I'll be right back.
All right, Terry on Flash Ware, he's a pro fighter. He's 10-2. As a pro, he's the current IFS Pro 1 champion. He's going for the Bama USA championship. That's coming up March 28th. He, as an amateur, he was the Quake the Cage champ and the Momentum Fighting Championship champion. Great guy. He's a family man. He's got been a dad for about a year and a half already with a little Flash. Great kid.
And Ray, I am back, and we have your guest ready, so why don't you announce him to the world?
Carry on Flashware. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. How's it going?
It's going good. It's going good. So you got a big fight coming up. Can you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, March 28th, I'm fighting for the 135-pound title for Bama USA at the Commerce Casino. Just super excited about that fight. It's been a long time coming, a lot of hard work put in, and just ready to go out there and put on a show.
So where can people go to get tickets?
We sell them at our gym, System Training Center Hawthorne, or they can contact me directly through Facebook, just my name, Terry Ann Flashware. My number is stored on my Facebook, too, so people can text me. I'm pretty open about that. My Twitter handle, FlashMMA, and you, Ray Lopez, my manager.
Well, there you go. You know, hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up at Takedown Grappleware Facebook or right here on Sunday Night Fights. We do have tickets for sale. With that being said, you know, you're a father. How has that changed your training regimen?
It made it a little bit more difficult in the sense that, you know, I've had my time is spread out with him. But at the same time, having him around and having him at the gym with me, it's motivation. You know, there's days where, you know, you're tired or whatever and you may not want to continue training. You know, but just having him there and having his presence, you know, it makes you push harder. It makes me realize exactly what I'm all doing this for, you know, and it's helped to push me, you know, and since having him, I haven't really, you know, looked back and I've been on a successful run.
How old is he now?
He's 15 months now.
Skippy, you got to see this kid. 15 months old, last four-star fight. Tyron was out talking to fans. Little Flash was in front of the takedown booth, hitting mitts and shadow boxing at 15 months old.
Now, I'll be honest, the fan of the sport, that's beautiful. I, you know, we talk about this all the time, and you know, Tyron, your son has the chance, if it's something that he enjoys, to be the future of the sport. We see more and more groups today, like Future Fighters, you know, who support, you know, combat sports at a young age. Is this something, knowing what you go through to be a professional and to be, you know, I guess, as the best you can be every step in your career, is this something you would be willing to let your kids go down the same road?
Absolutely. I mean, if he chooses, I mean, when he grows, I'm going to teach him to be a man, you know, and teach him the values of life as he grows up. Whatever he decides to do, if he does decide to take the path in fighting, I will 100% support that. At an early age, I don't want him getting into too much contact as far as taking blows to the head or anything like that. So early on, wrestling, jiu-jitsu will be something that he does. And as he gets older in his teenage years, where it's a lot safer for him, then, you know, I'll roll him into kickboxing and boxing and stuff like that. But absolutely, if he chooses, you know, a fight career, I support it 100%. And, you know, having gone through it myself, it'll be a lot easier for him because I can guide him through that and the connections that I've made. So,
do you, as a fighter, do you like, or do you think that we should go back to a pancration style division for amateurs?
I would. It's really tough to say because it really helped, you know, not having gone through pancration myself and having gone through the Camel system where it was, you know, you were in there and you were basically fighting like a pro with the exception of elbows and knees to the head. It really helped me develop really quickly. But, you know, on the other hand, there are some people that have taken, you know, damage they shouldn't have. But I think that's ultimately that falls onto the gym and the coach. You know, if your guy is going out there fighting and he's not ready to fight and he can't probably defend himself, then he has no business being in the cage. You know, for me,
amen.
On the other hand, you know, I when I took my first fight, only after 4 months of training, my 4 months of training were, you know, the equivalent of what some people do in a year, you know, because I was training, you know, 5-6 hours a day, 6 days a week. And, you know, I was prepared and I was ready to go in there. And I fought a guy who had much more experience than me. And I went out there and I did very, very well, you know. So, I mean, it's tough to say, you know, that we should go back to that or not because, you know, there are exceptions. But I think for the most part, you know, it's up to the coach and to that gym to make sure that their fighter is ready.
Now, switching gears here, 12 fights in under 2 years, how do you do that?
Really, it's just always training, you know. For me, I don't believe in training camps. For me, you know, I grew up doing karate, you know, at the young age of, you know, 4 or 5 years old, you know, watching my uncles do it. And my sensei, you know, I didn't only train when I had a tournament coming up. I trained every day that I was able to. And physically just taking care of my body, eating right, listening to my body. If I need a rest, you know, I'll take a rest day. You know, just keeping my body in shape all year round and not pushing it over the limit. And, you know, it just allowed me to be able to just go in there and fight 12 times in 1 year.
Now, was there any fight you had at a pro and amateur? Who was your toughest opponent?
It's tough. I had a couple, let me see. I remember the kid I fought, my first MMA fight, this kid named Marvin, he's a really good striker, and he actually just won a professional Muay Thai fight this past weekend. You know, and the kid's really good. He hit really hard. I would say that one, and probably the Jared fight, the Jared Papazian fight. He was just coming out of the UFC, and it was still early on in my pro career. That was a tough fight. So I would say those two are probably my two toughest fights.
Now, you're talking about all the fights you've had. I mean, what's your feeling on these guys who aren't making weight? You know, you've always made weight. How do you feel about these guys who don't make weight?
I think, you know, the majority of it is guys are just trying to cut too much weight and trying to cut more than they can handle. I don't think they just, you know, a lot of guys are out there purposely just going, saying, you know, forget this, I'm just, whatever, I'm just going to show up and be as heavy as I want. I think guys are just trying to be the bigger guy in the fight for the most part. And then you have some sprinkled in there where you do have guys in there who just, you know, who just don't act professional. I don't like it in general. If you agree to a weight, you know, and you're going to make that weight, you know, then you should be professional about it and you should come in on weight. You got to do the things that you need to do, you know. I cut a lot of weight as well, too, and I always make weight. And, you know, I have to sacrifice going through 8-week camp, not eating the things that I want to eat, and, you know, having to get up early mornings and do strength and conditioning, you know, when it's freezing outside or whatever. So I feel like if I should have to do that, they should have to do that as well, too, and just being a professional about it. You know, it's just not – you do that into the UFC and Bellator, and, you know, those guys.
Sorry, that was me. Too much background noise. Go ahead. I apologize.
No worries. Yeah, but yeah, you do that. You know, at the bigger show in those promotions, you know, those guys cut you out. You know, so, you know, for those guys who are doing air in the local promoter shows or whatever, and they don't see it like it's a big deal. They'll learn later on if they do make it to the big show that won't fly. So, I mean, for me, it's like, you know, miss weight a couple four or five pounds or whatever, I'm still gonna fight you. I don't care. But it looks bad on you to be doing it, and I don't like it personally.
You've got a great pro career going for you. You've got to fight for honestly, people I feel that have great organizations. Obviously, Bama USA, somebody we love and work with closely. Pandemonium, you know, I was glad to see Mez Sports come back. You know, King of the Cage, RFA. You know, you've got to fight for some great companies. Is there one city in the world that you've dreamed about fighting in?
Let me see. I've pretty much fought in two places that I would love to fight, which is, you know, L.A. and Vegas. I would like to see – I've been to New York once. I would love to go fight in New York. I think it would be cool if they were able to get that, you know, to get that sanctioned out there. Or even, you know, overseas. I think it'd be cool to go fight in London. But as far as for me, like, I've gotten to fight in the two cities that I've grown up and grown to love, which is Vegas and L.A., you know, in my backyard. And Vegas kind of a home away from home for me where, you know, I go visit there a lot. But, yeah, I've already fought in two places that I would love to fight. But definitely, I think fighting overseas or, you know, like London or Brazil, I think that would be awesome.
And you said you're going to be on the next Bama USA card, correct?
Yes.
And that's the 28th of March,
yes.
Right? Okay,
yes.
So yeah, that will be for the folks out there listening tonight, especially you guys outside the United States, because we have a lot of fans in China, a lot. You guys are going to be able to watch this young man perform on GoFightLive.tv. It will be a $14.99 iPay-per-view, but definitely get out there and support him that way if you can't make it to the local event. And Ray, I'll let you finish off the show.
All right, carry on. Anybody out there that you want to fight, or your dream fight?
I mean, I'm not really into calling anybody out, but for me, my goal when I got into this is to be the number one in the world. And right now, the number one in the world in my weight class is Henan Brow. So, I mean, that's a fight that if he's champion by the time I get to that level, that's someone I would like to fight. I mean, I figure he's the best in the world. But for me, I just want to fight. I want to work my way up and fight the best guys in the world. I think that I've been blessed with a talent level that you know, with an athleticism that I could, with hard work, that I could reach that level and compete with the best guys in the world. And that's just what I want to do. That's just what I want to prove. I don't want to get into the sport to be, you know, second to anybody or, you know, just, you know, doing it for kicks or whatever, just to say I fought in the UFC. Like, when I get to the UFC, I want to be the top tier. I want to be the top tier guys. I'm going to fight the top tier guys, and that's my goal. And I honestly think, you know, that I have the potential to get there. It's just going to be, you know, hard work and maybe a little bit of luck.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So any sponsors or training partners, anyone you want to shout out right now?
Yeah, I mean, all my training partners, Assistant Training Center, Team Victory, Muay Thai, those guys help me out, you know, every day, you know what I mean? Going to war with those guys, I'm not going to fight anybody, you know, better than a lot of those guys. You know, my sponsors, Takedown Grappler, that's been with me from day one, since, you know, fight number one through fight 24 and fight 25 coming up. You know, Magic Sweat Cream, who joined me about a little bit over a year ago. They've always been supportive. Bomb First since day one as well. Fight Me Clothing, Bite Me Mouth Guards. Be First Clothing, Ace Baker, she's helped me out as well too. And if I'm forgetting anybody, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure I covered everyone.
All right, well, thanks for coming on, Terion. We look forward to seeing you fighting for that strap in March, Bama, USA. You know, good luck with your training camp, and we'll see you March 28th.
Cool. Thank you guys very much.
Well, hey, I really appreciate you taking the time. Good luck, brother. I can guarantee you, because I have a lifetime contract to watch all Go Fight Live, I will be watching you do some work, brother. So good luck. Get out there and get that big victory.
Nice. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate the support. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Have a good night and enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right. You too.
Ray, we've got about 8 minutes left, so here in a few minutes, you know, we'll start our final wrap-up. But I want to tell you, first of all, great, great show. I want to thank all the guests, Joe Rice from Bite Me Mouth Guards, obviously Tony, the man. Definitely, Tony, it was honor to finally get to sit down and talk with you. And trust me, you're coming on this show and other shows we have in the future. I also want to thank, we just had The Flash, and you guys, Flash MMA is where you can find him. I want to thank Isaac Velasco and Terion Ware, both, for coming on tonight. You know, Ray, I want to thank you for asking me to fill in and help you out to get this started, and I want to thank you personally for coming on and doing, you know, this, you know, podcast each week on the Madhouse Radio Networks, because, you know, this is what it's about, getting these guys exposure, getting these guys out there so fans around the world. You know, he's talking title fights. I started thinking Havoc FC up in Canada right now is looking for someone to face either Chris Horodesky or Malcolm Gordon for the title. I started thinking about him for that fight. I started thinking about he would make a great add-on to the Dare $1 million tournament.
Definitely
he would. Dude, he was a great guy, man. He's got a great record. I can't believe more folks out there aren't already all over this kid, man. And you know, and I want to give mad love once again to Taiwan for getting us together and getting you on this show, man. I'm looking forward to a great year with you.
Oh, definitely, Skippy. I want to thank you for all your help. And definitely, yeah, Taiwan for putting this all together. You know, he left the show to concentrate on his fighting career. You got to love the guy for it. You know, he realized he's got to put more focus into that, and that's what he's doing. So we expect big things out of him. I want to thank T-Bone, Tony Padilla for coming on the show, Joe Rice, Jonathan Satomrita for winning the tickets for Spar Star, you know, Terion Flash, Ware, Isaac Velasco with their fights coming up. It was a great show. You know, I enjoyed myself. We're going to be here doing this every week. Right now I want to talk a little bit about my boy Joe Camacho. You know, this week for the first show, he would have been a guest on the show. This guy helped me out in the beginning of my career in MMA. He's helped so many people out, so we used his walkout music to come out. He's affected everybody that was on the show today. He trained Isaac for a little while. He was a big supporter of Terion. He used to call me after all of Terion's fights. He was the first main event for Tony Padilla. He's worked with Joe Rice. You know, great guy. He's taking from us way too early. At the young age of 41, he had a heart attack Just fought in Bellator in November. Great guy, pioneer in the sport for LA MMA, fighting back in the days when it was just no holds barred. In the beginning, you know, when Larry Landis was still out there fighting, you know, working with guys like Charlie Valencia, with Dave Rivas, you know, guys that were originators in the sport before it was called MMA. You know, back when they used to do it in parking lots of clubs and whatnot.
You know, I'm glad that we could, you know, go ahead and start this show, make this first show dedicated to him, and, you know, do this show, I mean, almost flawlessly, honestly. I mean, I've done a lot of these shows, and that was almost just a perfect show. I mean, and folks, the very end of the show, we are going to play a 10-bell salute to wrap the show up in honor of him. And all the fans out there, please go to Sunday Night Fights Live Facebook page. Follow us. You'll be able to get links. You guys can go to MMAMadhouse.com. Every show will be up there. You'll be able to find it on the right-hand side. You know, let's get out and let's really support this show, and let's support Ray and the fighters and the promoters and the companies he brings on, because he's going to bring on what is this sport. There is more to this sport than the Zuffa world, and we're going to expose it to you every week and help you fans get more knowledgeable about the fighters, maybe learn more about a favorite fighter, maybe meet a new organization you never knew of. And Ray's going to be the face of this for MMA Madhouse, and we're looking forward to it, brother.
Thank you, Skippy. I'm looking forward to it, too. Great show. I mean, really appreciate everything you've done. I had a blast. I can't wait to do it again next week. Next week, we got Madeline Suela on, you know, the matchmaker extraordinaire. He's got that new TV show coming out on Moon Dos, Combate Americas is what it's called.
Yep.
Showcasing Latino fighters. We got Heather Hyatt, one of the premier matchmakers in amateur MMA here in Southern California.
I love Heather.
Oh, she's the best looking matchmaker in the business.
I have to agree with that.
Yeah, and then you know we're going to have Jonathan Santa Maria on. He's got a fight coming up for, I believe, Explode in San Diego, making his pro debut. You know, we got a great lineup next week. It's going to be hard to top this week, but I think every week we're just going to keep building and building and getting better and better.
Yes, and I want to thank you once again to all the folks that listened tonight to the debut show, also to everybody that's been involved with it, and this is for somebody who has fallen way before his time. Everybody, you know how I end my shows always. I say a big eagle. Ray, how do you ever you want to wrap it up? Go for it, because you got about 60 seconds.
I just want to thank everybody. You know, stay safe out there. No drinking and driving. Play it smart, guys.
Later, everyone.
Confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world.